Hello, my name is Jan Kujala, and I will be talking about magnetoencephalography, MEG, in the study of cognition. This is a lecture, the SIPA 1000, Psychology at the University of Jyväskylä course. And learning objectives of today's lecture are such that after this lecture, you can describe the MEG signal and its origins. You can define various measures of neural processing that can be obtained with MEG, and you can explain what MEG can bring to understanding neural underpinnings of human cognition. The outline of my presentation such that I will be first talking about the principles of MEG. I assume that this is the first lecture for many of you on MEG, so I will be describing first and explaining the instrumentation, the signal and origins of the MEG measure. I will be talking also about neural phenomena, measures that can be obtained with MEG, and I will also touch upon the source level estimation estimates in MEG methodology. Then I will get to the actual main topic of today. I will talk about the MEG in the study of language and cognition. And this I will describe different approaches that are based on activation, cortico-peripheral or cortico-cortical connectivity, and the views, the neural processing that can be obtained with these approaches and measures. I will also talk briefly and slightly about the behavioral relevance of the MEG measures and cognitive training related discoveries that can be combined with MEG measurements. First, I will start with MEG instrumentation and signals. First of all, MEG is a fairly old method already. It's been sort of devised in the 60s and 70s. It's based on the superconducting quantum interference devices, SQUIDs. And at present, SQUIDs, the function, they need to be immersed in liquid helium. So then very specialized equipment is needed for MEG. And the history also that the first whole head MEG device covers the entire head and brain was developed in Finland in 1992. And this type of whole head device has been used in Jyväskylä University, University of Jyväskylä from 2015. About the instrumentation, the device is fairly large because it, liquid helium needs to be insulated on human subjects. So there's a container with helium, and then there's the actual measurement helmet. It's immersed in this liquid helium. The measurement helmet consists of multiple sensors. In this vascular device, 306 sensors, which have this kind of coils that actually measure the magnetic field. And then MEG at Jyväskylä, Jyväskylä of course has a long history of electroencephalography research. So, but what does this MEG method bring in addition to EEG? So first of all, there's a long history and also in Jyväskylä. One of the main benefits of MEG is that it allows an easier access to cortical origins. With EEG is also possible to estimate the cortical origins, but with EEG, the history has been focused on looking at the sensor level components. As with MEG, it's more straightforward, yet also the direct anatomical origins of the signals. In addition, because of some differences between the methods, MEG also brings additional measures that are not normally looked at with EEG and new novel types of analysis. In particular, MEG provides a much better and accurate view on the cortico-cortical connectivity and network-level neural behavior compared to EEG. So, then another glance at MEG, and especially the MEG, the head and the brain. Like I described just now, the MEG sensors are placed in a head-shaped helmet. And this describes the sends the configuration if the human head. It's designed to cover the human head as closely as possible. Of course, there are anatomical differences between subjects. Also, for many subjects, this helmet configuration allows sensor placing close to the head and the brain. But like you see on the right, actually, the sensors do not touch the brain. They're actually several centimeters from the cortical surface. So actually, while MEG measures signals, it covers the entire brain, there's a distance. Actually, there are two factors that originate from this sort of sensor configurations. First of all, we are not directly measuring from the brain. We are measuring the magnetic fields outside the head. And actually, there's no unique way of estimating the origins of the signals. So there's this kind of non-uniqueness problem. What we obtain when we discuss about the cortical origins are estimates, not perfect solutions. And secondly, as we are measuring from some centimeters away, and there are some signal-to-noise ratio limitations, so we need to have a good signal to obtain good estimates of the cortical processing. So, but then what types of signals does MEG measure? So they are temporarily detailed. Typically, we just say that MEG measures neural processing at a millisecond scale. Actually, you can measure even faster processing, but typically sampling frequencies of about 1,000 are used. So then you have 1 millisecond temporal resolution. But then about the spatial resolution, actually, that's not on the equal level. So the estimation varies a bit, but typically we could say that the resolution of MEG is in the range of 1 centimeter or a few centimeters, so that you can separate different cortical components compared to other measures like fMRI. The spatial resolution is much lower, but then for temporal resolution, especially for this human non-invasive techniques, the MEG and EEG are best methods that we have at the moment. So, but what do we see with MEG? Actually, it's just a small segment of data, 5 seconds of data, and this is not all of 306 sensors, these 102 sensors. Hopefully you can see that there's lots of information. There are all sorts of deflections in the different sensors. There are some patterns, burst patterns at some point. You might see individual, it's larger spikes. And this is just 5 seconds of data. Typically, when we conduct MEG experiments and measurements, we collect at least about half an hour of data. So this is just a very small portion of the data that we measure. So what does this mean? Well, this means that we get a very rich and complex representation of neural behavior from the human brain. So if we get into more detail, so what can we actually see from this signal? And in some cases, we can see quite a few things already from this raw signal. So this is a very small segment of data, 1 second of data, actually one MEG sensor. In some cases, you can see these repetitive patterns, oscillations in the brain that you can see directly from the raw signals. And these are signals from two conditions or states. One condition, the subject has kept his or her eyes open, and the other one closed. Perhaps you can already see from this that the amplitude of this fluctuation is larger in the eyes closed condition. Well, then it requires some squinting, but perhaps you can also see that actually the frequency of the oscillators doesn't change them, like intervals from peak to peak are about the same in the two conditions. These kind of things can sometimes be seen directly from the raw signal without any kind of mathematical processing of the signals. Second phenomena, which can sometimes be seen from the raw signal, is kind of event-rated neural signals, or especially phase-locked signals. But this is an example of auditory signals from one sensor over the auditory cortex. Here, at time zero, an auditory sound has been played. And then you can see if you align all the trials, all the events to different sounds, it's some tens of sounds, there's always a peak at about 100 milliseconds. deflection to the like pre-sound neural processing. And if you then actually process the data, clean it a bit, reduce the amount of noise, this phenomenon becomes even clearer. So actually here, at least for some events, even a like signal event is sufficient to induce a neural response, neural processing that can be seen directly from the MEG measurements. So this first part should give you some ideas about the MEG instrumentation and signals. Be able to answer the following questions. What is MEG, magnetoencephalography? What type and scale of signals does it measure? And what can we see from measured signals?